Welcome to Climate Talk Uganda. This is episode 3 of the accessible, acronym-free podcast about climate change, agriculture, and the links between the two. I'm your host, Josephine Karunji, and I'm talking to you on my phone from Arua in West Nile sub-region. Today, we're focusing on the challenges faced by women. An ambitious, energetic smallholder farmer in Koboko starts this episode off. She grows cocoa, coffee, maize, cassava, and beans. She tells a group of us visiting her farm that this season her produce has suffered, and she attributes this to the changing climate.
Utu kafiri, edi tamini ndre afari, lube si ili kini zazari ludi, lakini ili diari makabutio.
Te etuni sir?
Lube si utuni.
Utuni. That the sunshine is affecting, yeah, the pods.
Okay.
Too much sunshine is making them wither and fall off.
Okay.
She tells us that she has had to employ two people to support her on the farm because the work is immense and the pressure of it is made worse by her other responsibilities. From her house, not so far off, a group of children between the ages of 3 and 7 are cautiously peering at us, and she eventually calls one of them to take the child that she has been carrying in her arms.
She has a lot of grandchildren here. She's also taking care of them, so it makes actually the work a bit very difficult because she also needs to take care of the children, also go in the garden. So it is a big challenge for
us. What
you're saying, to do this work, at least it needs some support, some money, so that you can do the work.
Some money to hire labor.
Yes, okay. Hire labor and to take care of the children at home.
So she says some of those children actually go to school. It's only two, the one she was carrying and another one that already walks and so on, who stay with her. So I'm asking her, if there was a space for her to take those two, would she take them? She says, the other one, yes, but this small one, no, I cannot. I have to hold on to her until she makes maybe two more years before I take her to school. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that?
That who will take care of that small kid? Because she still, you know, she still has to pee on herself and so on. So she doesn't think there's someone who can take care of that kid better than her.
Still in Koboko, we meet another smallholder farmer.
By name, I'm called Neva Rukia. My village is Adugule. I'm in Mangulu Home Learning Center. I'm a parent in Mangulu. I do cropping. Crops which I grow, beans, maize, cassava. But this month is not okay. The crops we have dug, especially maize, and maize, and the season of beans. Maize, they are destroyed with the sun.
Why do you think this season was bad?
This season was bad because of the changes of the climate. You know, some other years they are good, but for this year is not good. The sun was starting from, let me say, from February up to March, it was not raining.
What makes your work as a farmer more difficult as a woman?
Me, you know, the activities of a woman, you see at home from morning hours after sunset, you are doing something more than boys are doing. Starting from the morning hours, you are a woman, you have to get out, you sweep the compound. After that, you prepare tea for the young children, lunch, also the evening hours, you are always busy from the morning up to the evening. That's why the work of women, they are doing a lot.
What would help make this easier for you?
This to make it easier, it needs to also men, they should help we who are women to be. When from morning hours up to sunset, you don't have anybody from you, you are only alone. It was a problem. When men could they assist us, we are going to see changes.
What do you do with the children when you are on the farm?
We did the children when we are in the farm, also I'm talking to them. When especially the period of beans, when I was planting, I know children, they are doing things not the one of we who are big people. I was advising them, when you are planting, you should do like this. That's why children also are learning from me. They will do the right thing.
Do you bring any of your children to this home learning center?
Yeah.
Why do you bring your children here?
I have brought your children here to also, you know, the future. When your child is at home, it is not going to get anything. Especially the one from 1 to, let me say, from 0 to 2 years. When you have brought them here, they are going, since by that long ago, our children, especially me, I don't know stories or what. By now, you come to ask our small children can tell you a story because of this home learning center.
Does it help you in any way? So the child you're carrying on your back, how old is the child?
This one is 6 months.
Are you able to leave the child here at the home learning center?
Me? This one is possible for me to live here. The one from 1 year above, I could live here. This one is 6 months. I was always moving with it in my back.
Why can't you leave the child here? This one of 6 months.
Because the breastfeeding is a difficulty. When I left it here, I'm going somewhere, it was possible. The one from 1 year above, I can leave it here because it's going to get porridge here. Everything is here. That's why it was possible for me to move with this one.
So when you're cooking, when you're in the garden, you have this one on your back?
No. I have also my young one to cater for her.
How old is the young one catering?
It's 5 years. During the weekend. But at the time of school, from Monday up to Friday, she was also from primary. I was the one catering for this one.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
The reality of these women might be difficult for some to wrap their heads around. In fact, we constantly hear the debate about why try to make everything about women? Why do we say climate change affects women more than it does men? So I spoke to Betty Kanza, a social development advisor with the British High Commission in Kampala, and I asked her why it is important to her that we emphasize the challenges specific to women.
As people, we're different, we're not the same. And usually when we're doing work or all these interventions, the understanding is I'm just taking a project to this community. But that community is not homogeneous, so it's not the same. The people that are in there are unique, they are different. And if you don't take into consideration those differences, you might find that the intervention you take to them doesn't benefit them. So for instance, you say, I'm doing a road project in Gulu, let's say. So it should benefit everybody in Gulu. But if you take into cognizance that women are different from men, girls are different from boys, persons with disabilities are different from those that do not have disabilities, then it drives you to start thinking of the uniqueness and how these people are going to, you know, either benefit or be left out. So that, you know, interests me because, as I said, I'm a social development person. It's really about people. So I want to see that, you know, whatever we're doing, is it benefiting everybody?
So you've spoken about it from with your development hat on. On a more personal level, why is this so important to you?
Yes, in terms of what I studied, my undergraduate is, you know, like teaching. So that obviously brings me into interaction with, you know, people, children, parents, communities that bring, you know, these children into the school. So I have a training in education. But also, like, my father's studies has been in, you know, social development with speciality in gender and women. So, yeah. But also being a woman, being, you know, a girl that has grown up in these communities. I come from the Eastern, from Busoga region. Really, that drives me in terms of seeing, you know, for instance, how girls in Busoga are getting, you know, pregnant at a very early age. It really drives me to see that, you know, what more can I do to address some of those disadvantages that affect people from the community that I come from to, you know, to be able to uplift them where I can make a contribution.
So this is a climate change podcast. How are women affected by climate change in ways that maybe men are not affected? What's unique about women in this context?
Yeah, I think it's we start with an understanding that society groups us differently, what we call gender. That beyond me being a woman biologically, there is a way that society defines me. It gives me roles. So by virtue of being a woman, society expects me to be, you know, the one that takes care of the children, the one that, for instance, fetches water for my household, the one that expects me to, you know, to take care of, for instance, people in my household when they fall sick, that is, you know, if they are children, if, you know, if they are relatives. So there are roles, you know, by virtue of how society defines us differently between men and women, that then when we start to talk about climate change, we put on that hat or bring in that understanding. For example, if we talk about, you know, climate change or extreme weather, whether it's hot or cold, that comes with an effect. And by virtue of the roles of women, that makes them, you know, be affected differently. For example, it is the women that provide, let's say, wood, fuel for the household. They'll go out, look for the firewood, women or girls. So when we have this climate change because, you know, forests have been cleared, it now, that role of theirs becomes even harder, you know, it becomes very hard for them to start provide that wood fuel for the household. It is a responsibility of women or girls to fetch water. Because of climate change, you know, water sources are drying up. It now becomes more difficult. The girls are going to be moving, or even the women are going to be moving longer distances to find that water. If they are moving longer distances, in most cases it will affect on, you know, for instance for the girls, it will affect on their hours that they put into a school. Either they will be arriving school late, or in most cases even missing, you know, classes because of. So because of the roles that women have in society, we are expected to be the ones that provide food for our households. If you look into agriculture, somebody may say both men and women are involved in agriculture. But we know that women grow different crops from men.
An example,
In most cases, the food garden will be for the woman. You're the one that is growing the beans, you're the one that is growing the potatoes. And then the man, because society expects him to be providing economically, they would possibly going into cash crops. They'll be the ones that are responsible for the coffee and all that. So because our responsibility is to provide food, climate change is making it harder for women, you know, to produce, to grow that food and put it, you know, provide it for the household. That, of course, brings in other secondary effects. That there is already, we know that there is violence in these households. When I don't do my role as a woman, that has been driving violence in my household. The man will come, you know, why is there no food today? Or why is the food delayed? He's not going to understand it because it's taken me longer to get the firewood. Or now, you know, because of the heat or the floods, there is now very little reserve of the food that we have. What I produced, for instance, last year, I've not been able to produce the same. So that drives violence again for women. And we are not, in most cases, not relating it to the climate change. So women are affected differently because of, you know, the roles. The care, again, the care burden now increases, you know, because you're the one that is caring, providing for the household. Because of this additional effect of the climate change, that burden now is also becoming, becoming bigger for you. Research has also shown that there are effects around maternal health and child health that are driven by climate change. In extreme, you know, extreme heat, that has been linked to stillbirth or even abortions for, you know, for women. We're also seeing that, you know, for instance, prevalence of malaria is going up because of the changes of, you know, weather. That directly affects child health. Women are responsible for, you know, the well-being or taking the children to hospital and all that. So that, all that comes back to, you know, to their responsibilities that society has assigned them, all they are expected to provide in the household. We also know that, you know, there are more women that are involved in agriculture. They are providing over 78% agriculture labor compared to women. Climate change is making already agriculture difficult for everyone, but it will be much harder now for the women.
What have you seen the communities that you've worked with or from the work that you're doing in development, what have you seen as strategies that women refugees have started implementing on their own as a way to cope with climate change?
Yeah, quite a lot. I'll speak about maybe specific interventions, but I'll also speak about like broad approaches that can help us to, you know, or that we have seen, you know, help address this. So things like smaller things like, let's say, kitchen gardens that, you know.
What's a kitchen garden?
A kitchen garden is, you know, like just behind, you know, in your backyard. You grow vegetables around, you grow, you know, simple things like tomatoes. That is going to ease, you know, because your role as a woman is to provide food. So if you have like a backyard garden, small garden, where you can easily get, you know, these vegetables, it eases for you to, you know, be able to put food on the table. But it also eases, you know, you walking longer distances to try and find, because we know, especially during those harsh times, people are looking for these vegetables all over. So if you have one in your backyard, it's a lot much easier to water. It is on a small scale, so it eases. But you can also have like some extra income. When you have enough that you can, you know, provide for the family and have a bit extra, you're selling off those and, you know, getting an income. So we are seeing very small interventions like those of, you know, for instance, amongst refugees of, if you do these smaller gardens with your smaller plots of land, don't look at people who have acres and they are growing, you know, on a very large scale, that, you know, things that require large pieces of land. You could even do these, you know, smaller things like vegetables, like tomatoes and all those, and still be able to earn, you know, earn from it. But also approaches like, you know, if you're taking an intervention to a community, please don't only speak to men, try and speak to women as well. Because in most cases we'll find, we know by, again, virtue of our society, that it is men who are leaders. So when you go to speaking to communities about the interventions you're taking to them, please try and look out for the women as well. They may not be into the leadership group. So if you just stop at just speaking to the leaders, you might miss the issues of the women. So try and, as much as possible, be intentional on ensuring women can participate in all these conversations that you have at those lower levels. At times, you know, women may not speak in those bigger meetings. So when you bring men and women together, you know, they may, except for a few that are very bold, because again, society doesn't expect you to speak when a man speaks. Or, you know, so some of these things look like they are 100 years back, that we still live with them on a day-to-day. So if you want to find very specific issues, try and make, you know, separate groups, especially for women and all that. But also on a much higher level, policy level, you know, when you do the analysis, don't just stop at, we had a flood in Teso or in Kumi, you know, can you take it a much lower level to do the analysis of who is most affected, you know. This is when we will be able to bring out those specific issues. Smaller interventions like, you know, village savings groups, these are things that are, for instance, what we call safety nets or protective measures. That, for instance, if a woman has cultivated this season and because of the climate change they've not been able to harvest, at least they have a village saving group where they can go and, you know, borrow money, you know. So you're not putting money only into bigger things, banks. Women are not able to access loans in banks because it requires them to have collateral. They do not have land titles. It requires them, you know, feel this, feel that. They're not that much level, you know, with that much level education. So very small things that look, many times we underlook, like you do not know how much the village savings have done in terms of empowerment. This is where women would run to for quick loans. They are known, they already have the capital among us, you know, their fellow women or their fellow communities, so they are not going to ask them X, Y, and Z, bring titles and all that. There is trust already. So those, they can access very quick loans, low interest, but also, you know, they have saved some money, you know, so it's a fallback position for them. So those kinds of smaller interventions really work, yeah.
As you can hear from my chat with Betty, there are peculiar ways in which climate change affects all of us, and then others even a bit more. It is important that we remain conscious of these differences. My conversation with Betty goes on for a little longer. If you'd like to hear it in full, visit the Climate Smart Jobs YouTube channel, where the longer versions of many of the conversations featured in the podcast can be found. Once again, it's been a pleasure, and I hope you'll give us a shout and let us know if these conversations are useful for you. Email us at climatetalkpod@gmail.com. My name is Josephine Karunji. See you next time on Climate Talk Uganda.